All right, let's read it. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So Psalm 23, 1, the Lord is my shepherd, and what we're going to see tonight is I shall not want. I mean, that's an incredible statement, isn't it? I shall not want. And here is the potential of the sheep under the good shepherd's care. The sheep that is so satisfied with their owner and so perfectly content with its lot in life, where it can say, I shall not want. I don't want. I'm so content, I don't want. Now, a few thoughts about this statement. They're both true. I'm going to give you two thoughts here, but one I think is more vital than the other. The first in this is, I don't want, I shall not want. It's really an introductory statement. It's leading into the rest of the psalm. And the rest of the psalm, the blessings that are there, are basically showing why we don't want. I mean, these blessings are amazing. We shall not lack rest, verse 2. We shall not lack life because he restores our soul, verse 3. We shall not lack guidance, verse 3. We shall not lack safety, verse 4. We shall not lack provision, verse 5. And we shall not lack a heavenly home, verse 6. And so those are all the blessings that flow out of that I shall not want. The reason why a contented sheep can say I shall not want, because of all of those things, because we're so lovingly cared for. So that's one way to look at this, is that we shall not want because God's going to take care of all of our material needs, our physical needs, our emotional needs, all of those kind of things he's going to take care of. But I think really that this is saying so much more than that. And I think it's talking about the attitude of the contented sheep. If we take only, and I think a lot of people do this, and I think it's wrong, where they take this, I shall not want, and only apply it to the material and the emotional. And if we do that, we're going to end up frustrated because we will probably think this means an abundance of everything. I shall not want. God's going to see everything I want. He's going to give that, and so there's going to be nothing left. And we can be frustrated because God has never promised that we're going to get all that we want, that we're going to always live in abundance. And so I think if we take it that way, I get everything I want, you know what? We're going to get frustrated, and we're going to start thinking that God has let us down. God, there's the promise. Why isn't it working out in my life? And so, Lord, I think you're letting me down. There's either something wrong with me, or there's something wrong with you, because what I see in my life doesn't seem to be lining up with this promise in Psalm 23. Listen to the words of Paul there. I've got it there in Philippians 4, 11 through 13, to see if we can say that we're never going to have hard times. We're never going to have any need. We're never going to... I mean, look what he says. He says, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And so Paul, I mean, he wouldn't use that statement like that and say, I get everything I want. He says, there's times where I have needs. There's times when I've been hungry. And so Paul, though, has also said, but I'm very content. His contentment wasn't based on an outward circumstance, then, was it? It couldn't have been. He was content when he wrote this. I've said this many times. He's not writing from the Jerusalem Hilton. He's writing from a Roman prison chained to a Roman guard. And so still in that situation where he didn't have anything, he still said, I'm content. So I think this contentment, this is more of an attitude that the sheep has. And I think it's more of, I'm content because of who my shepherd is, not because of what I have materially. I'm content because I know who he is. I know I'm so loved. The contentment is because of Him being in my life. So this is a contentment and satisfaction, primarily, we could say, in the shepherd himself. Much more than in the things he gives us. It's that contentment where the sheep honestly say, He's enough. He's enough for my satisfaction. He's enough for my contentment. It is a trusting in Him that He knows what we really need, that He knows more than we know when it comes to what we really need. Listen, if it was up to us, wouldn't we always choose abundance, comfort, health, and wealth? I mean, that's our priority list. And what do I want from God? Okay, if I have my choice, it's all those kind of things. But you need to see that your shepherd knows much more than you do about what you really need. And you need to see that much of his work's going to be done in the spiritual realm. And he's going to use the material realm to do that work. See, he may just say, no, where you're saying, I want abundance and I want comfort. Listen, your shepherd may say, what you need right now is leanness and struggle. That's what you need. You may need to walk through the valley of the shadow of death for a bit. Because your need right now, what he sees, may be more spiritual than material. He may be dealing with character issues, issues of trust, issues of faith. And so he needs to take you through the valley for a moment. And that valley of the shadow of death is a place of pain. It's a place where things die. Things like this, self-reliance and self-dependence are put to death there. It is a place where idols are pried away from our hearts. Those idols of security where we trust in other things rather than God. Those must die if we're going to have a stable peace and a stable joy. Idols of self-reputation. It is so easy to be addicted to others' approval rather than the approval of God. And that's a snare. And that must die. And so God's got to take us through things where idols are dying. It takes tough times to learn how to rest and be content, doesn't it? Psalm 23:4, there it is. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so all of these promises of the shepherd's goodness in our life, part of that goodness is he knows what we need more than we do. And part of that goodness is sometimes he is going to take us into the valley of the shadow of death because he understands that there are things in our life that must be dealt with so that we can come to a place where we really do trust him, really do rest in him. So let me ask you this. How do we learn to rest? How do we learn that he is enough? You know what? The only way, he must force us to lean on him. Have you noticed that? He must force us to lean on him. He must force us to learn, to open our eyes, to open our ears. He must convince us. Now get this. He must convince us that all the little things we cling to for security are not enough. He must make things so difficult that all of our little techniques that we have that kind of keep him at arm's length because we got this one covered, he's got to take us into places where it's beyond that, where those little techniques that we have built up are not big enough for this one. This one's too big for anything I've got in store, for any resources I may have. God's got to do that. The shepherd who loves us must do that because we need to learn these lessons. Look at Paul's experience, 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. See, far beyond our ability to endure. See what he's saying there? God took us beyond anything we could handle. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death, but look at the end there. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. See that? This happened so that we would start trusting the shepherd and stop relying on us and our little techniques and our little idols and all this, all these things that can't really take us where we want to go. God in his love will rip those away. And it is love. Every idol that he takes, it's an act of mercy and grace, isn't it? Because that's blocking us from trusting in him. It's blocking us from really enjoying him. Listen, Paul was so gifted. He was so brilliant. Naturally, he had everything going for him. He was a superstar of Judaism. He had it all going. Then he gets saved, but he wasn't resting in the Lord. He was resting in himself. He was relying on himself. That's what we get out of that scripture, right? So God had to move. God had to put him through the ringer to show him that his best was not good enough. God had to teach him. And he goes on later on in Philippians 4:19, I believe it's 4:19, where he says, I've learned the secret of being content. Well, Paul, how did you learn the secret of being content? I mean, how could you be content when you're chained up? He says, whether I have much or have little, how could you be content, Paul? Well, he says, well, I've learned the secret, and how I learned the secret was God took me beyond myself, where my only hope was him, to where I had to look up, where I could no longer look at anything in me, where I had nothing left but him. And I found out that he was enough. I found out that he was sufficient. I learned. That's where God wants to take us, isn't it? Whether experiencing freedom or chains, we learn the secret that Christ is enough. And then when Christ is taking us through those lessons and they're painful and they hurt, we must come to the point by faith that we trust our shepherd and say, he knows what he's doing. This is something I need right now. The contented sheep then doesn't say he has no needs because he lives in abundance in every area in his life. What he's saying here is he has no needs gnawing at him, making him discontent because he has Christ, and Christ is enough. That's enough for this sheep. Even when times are tough, the sheep can rest because the shepherd knows what he's doing. We rest in this. Paul in prison sings worship songs. Paul in chains writes the most joy-filled letter in the New Testament. He had learned well. That's where we want to go. With this world and all it's throwing at us, that's where we want to get us, to where it doesn't matter, Lord, I'm still content in you. I have everything I need in you. It's where we want to end up. A contentment that is independent of circumstances. That's where you want to be, right? That's where I want to be. But we have to let him lead us. And we have to trust him when he does. We have to accept the fact that he will lead us in the circumstances and situations that we would never choose for ourselves. None of those sheep. Listen, if you gave any of those sheep in that flock in Psalm 23, the choice, none of them would choose the valley of the shadow of death. They would all go a different way. But the shepherd knows that through that valley, that's the path that leads to green pastures and still waters. That leads to beautiful, spacious, lush pastures where they can rest. But those pastures can't be reached. Guys, listen, the pastures can't be reached unless you go through the valley. It's all part of it. And so we've just got to trust him. You're in the valley now. Learn to trust him. Put into practice what the Bible says. Listen, if I was to ask any of you right now, do you believe that God knows what he's doing? Every one of us would say, of course. Now it's time in some of your life to start reflecting those words by trusting him. That's what he wants to get to, where these things are more than words. They're a settled condition in our heart. I trust him. And it takes trials to get there. It takes pain to get there. So we've been looking, first of all, at spiritual needs. Primarily, I believe what the Lord does in our life, he's working in character, isn't he? He's working in holiness. He's working in faith and endurance and trust and all of those things. And all of those things don't grow on the mountaintops. They usually grow in the valleys. And so he knows when he has to lead us down into the valleys. But when he's doing that, when he's doing things in your life you wouldn't choose to do in your own life, listen, trust him. He knows what he's doing. And that's that sheep here who says, I have no want, because everything he does, I'm trusting him. He knows. I'm just letting him do what he wants to do in my life. But you may be saying, yeah, that's great. Okay, I need spiritual work, but I also got some material needs. Well, it means that too, doesn't it? That we're not going to have any want materially. Probably should say we won't have any needs materially. He's not going to meet all of our wants. But listen, he will meet all of our needs. The shepherd knows what you need, and he has obligated himself. Remember this. He wouldn't have chosen the title shepherd if he wasn't willfully taking on the obligation to meet your need, because that's what a shepherd does. Shepherd meets needs, protects, cares for. He does all of these things, and he would have never called himself shepherd if he wasn't telling you through that title, this is what I am to you. I am taking on that obligation to meet your needs, to be a shepherd in your life. So you can rest in the fact that every need will be met. And I love the stories, don't you, of the great saints that just trusted God. They trusted him as a good shepherd, and they just rested in him. I've got a story here from George Mueller of Bristol, one of my heroes. He had an orphanage there in Bristol, and he just trusted God, and he's famous for his faith. But he just rested in the shepherd, trusting him to meet every material need. Let's read that story. This is a good one. Things looked bleak for the children in George Mueller's orphanage at Ashley Downs in England. It was time for breakfast, and there was no food. A small girl whose father was a close friend of Mueller came visiting in the home. Mueller took her hand and said, "Come and see what our father will do." In the dining room, long tables were set with empty plates and empty mugs. Not only was there no food in the kitchen, but there was no money in the home's account. Mueller prayed, "Dear Father, we thank thee for what thou art going to give us to eat." Immediately, they heard a knock at the door. When they opened it, there stood the local baker. "Mr. Mueller," he said, "I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt you had no bread for breakfast, so I got up at 2 o'clock and baked fresh bread. Here it is." Mueller thanked him and gave praise to God. Soon a second knock was heard. It was the milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. He said he would like to give the children the milk so he could empty the cart and repair it. Why could George Mueller pray with such confidence? Because he had seen God take care of the children many times before. Why could he pray with such confidence? Well, he'd been in the valley so many times before where he had needs and they didn't have the means for the needs, and he just trusted God and God came through. Have you ever seen that in your life? God is good at that, isn't he? When we got back from England, we needed a car. We didn't have a car. And so I prayed, me and Carrie prayed, and you know what? She said, "Lord, we really need a car. Would you provide?" And we said, "Amen." And almost immediately the phone rang, and it was from a church and said, "Somebody just dropped off a car. Do you guys need one?" It's like, "Why, yes, we do." God is so good, isn't he? God is so good in taking care of us. So now for Mueller, an empty breakfast plate at this point wasn't a problem, but an exciting possibility. Not only was he not worried about it, he took that little girl in and said, "Come, let's watch what God is going to do." No money, no food, just absolute confidence in the shepherd. He's going to take care of it. This is a genuine need. He's the shepherd. He said he would provide. And so let's go see what he's going to do. It was just another opportunity for him. Did you notice the contentment? The anticipation, the confidence. "Dear Father, we thank thee for what thou art going to give us to eat." In advance. Empty plates, empty bank account. But he said he would provide. He's the shepherd. He's taken on the obligation. And so therefore, this is your problem, not mine. And I trust you to do what you need to do to provide for these kids. Thank you for what you're going to do. I love that kind of faith. But it was in his way and in his timing. He's going to meet your needs, but it's always going to be in his way and in his timing. And listen, God, it says his wisdom is manifold. You ever seen that scripture? Manifold wisdom. What that means is many-sided. What that means is that God is so brilliant that when he does one thing, in that one thing, it's doing many things. Many-sided wisdom. And so when he moves in your life, he's got more than just providing for you in mind. He's going to do a lot of different things when he moves and provides for you. And one of the things he's going to do in that is he is going to stretch your faith a little bit. Have you noticed? The longer I walk with God, the longer it takes for him to answer a prayer. I don't know if you've noticed that, but you know why? Because I'm getting stronger in my faith, and God is stretching my faith. He's producing endurance. When I was a brand new Christian, he would just seem to be answering prayers left and right, and it was immediately. Now I am praying and praying and praying and enduring and trusting because he's stretching my faith. That's good. Praise God. I want my faith to be stretched. I want to become stronger. So I'm noticing that he's going to meet my needs in his way and in his timing. And his timing is usually longer than my timing. I'm like, microwave it, please. Drive up, window it. I want this quick. And he's going, no, no, slow cooker. We're going to work on your faith. And so I love the balance here, the spiritual and the material. My shepherd knows what I need most. The spiritual will usually trump the material, and he will use the material world to work on me spiritually. And he will allow leanness. He will allow things to come into my life that trouble my life and all of these kind of things because he's working in me spiritually. But there are also promises for the material world. Every need will be met in his way and in his timing, and he will meet those needs in a way that does maximum spiritual work too. He's brilliant at all this. And I said he usually waits until the very last minute, but it's not always that way. I want to clear that up. You know, when we were in England, a lot of times we get an extra check, and I learned if somebody had given us, you know, Lord had just laid something on their heart and they sent us an extra check, I learned to put that in the bank and say, let's not spend this. And you know what happened? You're shaking your head, you know, huh? What happened is I would put that money in the bank, and within a couple weeks usually, a need would come up that I wouldn't have a lot of time for. I would need money right away, and so that money's sitting right in the bank already, and he's taking care of it. I saw that happen again. A car breaks down. You're going, man, what are we going to do? Oh, wait a minute. What he said it's costing is exactly what this person has sent 2 weeks ago. We've already got the money. Yeah, let's send it in. Well, we would have had to say, I don't know how we're going to fix this. It was not a problem. Fix it. We've got the money. God's taking care of us. I mean, he's just so brilliant. He's just so good. And what he's doing through all of this and through the scriptures, he is just trying to get us to a place where we live a carefree lifestyle. Do not worry about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. Why? Because we have such a good shepherd, we don't have to be anxious. I want to just throw one more in here about the good shepherd. Because I think many of us think Christianity is some joyless sort of thing. We've got, he blesses us spiritually, he blesses us materially. The next one is, he just blesses us to bless us. Because he loves us. You parents know what this is like, right? How much do you think of your kids? How many things do you get for them? Just because you love them, just because they're a kid, just so you can take it home and say, you know, here you go. And see the joy on their face, and it's like, right on. That made my day. That's the way God is with us. He loves to see his children filled with joy. In his shepherding, he will go beyond the norm. He will give us things that are special. And you go, man, I don't deserve this. I don't get this. And you just go, that's right, grace. Don't worry about it. Just take it and enjoy it. This is just a gift of grace, love. 1 Timothy 6:17. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. Boy, that's a good scripture for Orange County. Don't set your hope on the uncertainty of riches. Or set your hope instead on a shepherd who's going to take care of you. But then it goes on, it says, set your hope on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Don't set your hope on money or anything else. You'll still want. Listen, I don't care how secure you feel you've got your financial plan, you know, or whatever it is that you feel is your security. This world will threaten those things, won't it? You'll never be content unless your contentment's in Christ. They ask a millionaire, how much money does it take to be satisfied? And he said, just one more dollar than I have. Just one more dollar than I have. It will always be just one more than I have. But in Christ, your shepherd, you can be content in him. He is enough. He is enough to be content and satisfied, regardless of the circumstances. He is so good. He's richly provided, not just for our wants, but for our enjoyments. Romans 10:12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. Bestowing his riches. Man, you know what? This is so good. I pray for things I know I don't need. I'll ask for just special little things. You know why? Because he loves me. Because I'm his child. Because he's my father. Listen, I never got mad at Taylor when he asked me for something he wanted. if I could provide it, I'd provide it. If it wasn't something that was dangerous and would hurt him, and you know, I loved blessing him. God, your father, your shepherd, loves blessing you. Why would I ask him for something I know is just for pleasure? You know why? Because I'm in a relationship with God. I'm his child. Why wouldn't I ask? Why wouldn't I ask if I'm in a relationship? Listen, I understand that he can say no. I don't ask for those kind of things and say, no, I'm claiming this. But I'm just saying, Lord, if it's your will, I pray for this. I would really like to do this one day. So, I mean, he's answered so many of those prayers in my life. I can't believe what he's allowed me to do. It's all relationship, isn't it? Christianity's all relationship. Shepherd, sheep, father, child. It's intimate. It's loving. It's fun. I think we fail to see that there is so much joy in knowing God, that it brings so much excitement into our lives. Listen, this isn't health and wealth. I'm not TBN right now. I'm not telling you to claim a Porsche. Listen, I'm just encouraging you to start enjoying your relationship with God. See what it is like to have a good shepherd, to enjoy having a loving father who wants to bless you. Now, I don't have time to talk about all the rest. I mean, he's going to provide for you mentally and emotionally. He's going to encourage you when you're down. He's the lifter of our heads, right? I'm learning that. Learn this, that when you're down, go pour your heart out to him and just say, I'm down. I'm depressed right now. Things are overwhelming me and I need help. Will you help me? Oh, Father, Shepherd, will you help me? You know what? He's the lifter of our head. Learn to go to him with every need as your shepherd. He delights in taking care of you. He wouldn't have signed up. He didn't have to sign up and call himself shepherd if he didn't delight in caring for you. There's no reluctance at all. He will care for you. One more thing. Here's something I go through, and I just thought maybe you do too. So this is kind of weird. Let me just preface this with, this is kind of weird. But I thought I'd mention it in case there's anybody else that's like me. And this is a daily dependence upon God. When I wake up, I don't wake up and spring out of bed filled with joy. I know there are people like that, and I hate you. I mean, I wake up and there's a bit of darkness to me. I'm a bit gloomy. I feel burdened right when I wake up. So I have to preach the gospel to myself, get that settled so it opens up access to God. And here it is. I have learned that I have to pray and read my Bible in the morning. It is the only thing that seems to work. As I do that, joy begins to flood back into my life, and it happens again and again and again. So I've scientifically tested this. It works. It just keeps happening in my life. Because as I do that, I expose my heart to God, and I become armed to face the day. Faith comes back in. I'm resting in the fact that he is my shepherd, that he is my loving father, all the promises of who he is to me in my life. Everything starts to filter through that truth again instead of my emotions. I wake up in an emotional basket case. I don't know what's wrong with me. But as I pray, emotions start to be overcome by truth. And joy is the result. Listen, if I didn't do that, I would enter into the day carrying that darkness with me. I would carry that defeat, that joylessness that I wake up with for some reason. I would carry that into my life. That would be my day. So for me, and I would imagine others, the first person I ever heard talk about this is John Piper. And he says, I have to fight for faith every morning. John Piper, the guy who's Mr. Joy in the Lord. But he says, every morning I wake up and I have to fight for faith. I get that because I'm going, I'm right with you. That's exactly what I have to do. Because, man, I wake up and I don't have faith. I don't have joy. I don't have nothing until I get with God and all that comes back in. So for people like us, if you're like me, morning devotions is not a luxury. It's not a luxury for me. It's a necessity for me if I want to enjoy my Christianity. Listen, it's not a necessity to be saved. It's not a necessity so that God will love me more. It's a necessity to overcome who I am and to go into my day with joy and peace with my eyes focused on Jesus Christ. So you have to know yourself. God wants me to have joy, but for me to do that, I know I have to read and pray in the morning. I have to. So, I shall not want. Let's conclude this then. This is not saying everything's going to go my way. There is no promise in the Scriptures that it will. But everything is going to go the way that is for your best, right? All things work for your good. Life here is not always going to be comfortable. It's not always going to be easy. But it is always working out what is best for you. And the shepherd knows what is best for you. And he is going to lead you on those paths, even when they're not comfortable, because he loves you, because he has your best in mind. This contentment then is based on the fact of who my shepherd is, not so much my circumstances. Listen, when the Lord has blessed me with special things and all that, you know, I have great joy, but that doesn't last very long. You know, you go do something and you get the experience and wasn't that wonderful, and the next day you wake up and you're back to yourself usually. And so if I'm going to have joy, if I'm going to have this peace, it's got to be based on something more than that. And it is. It's based on the fact of who my shepherd is. Jesus Christ, my Lord, my shepherd. He's taking care of me. He's with me. He is enough. He is sufficient for joy. I shall not want, because even when I'm going through hard times, he's right there with me. I can look to him and say, this is all from you. I thank you for it. This is working for my good. But I also understand that all of my material needs are going to be met too in his time, in his way, that will usually come in a way that has a spiritual lesson attached to it. So there may be a lot longer waiting than you think there should be. He knows. He knows. And so everything at the end just comes back to this. He knows. I rest in him. He knows. So Christian contentment, we could say, is based on the master we belong to. To have that contentment, you've got to mix all this with faith, don't you? I mean, I've said a lot of things tonight. Listen, you've just got to believe that all that the Bible says about Jesus is true. That Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. Do you believe that? Was he telling you the truth? And start lining your life up to that. Carry that into your day with you. When things come that frighten you and bother you, stop and think. Don't just react emotionally. Stop and think and say, how should I react? Somebody who is a sheep with a good shepherd, with all of the promises of Christ that are yes and amen in him, that are given to me, that are mine because I'm in him. How should I really respond to this? Who I am in Christ and who he is and what he said. I don't want to just respond emotionally and panic and be afraid. I want to get that down to where I'm stopping and saying, stop, Bill. How should you react biblically? What does it mean that I have a shepherd? The more you do that, the more you practice, the more you'll see peace starting to flood into your life, because you're starting to walk under his care. Not just mentally, but when things come into your life, it's not just facts. It's something that's worked down into your heart. It's something that you're starting to apply all the time in your life. It's starting to become habitual. I am a sheep under the shepherd's care. And as we run all through that, we'll grow in it. We'll find more and more peace in our life. So what are you going through? You have a good shepherd who is responsible to care for you. Brothers and sisters, relax into his grip. Relax into his love and his care for your life. How great it is. How wonderful it is to be a sheep with a shepherd, and all of those promises of the Scriptures, all of those promises run through our relationship with Jesus. All of our spiritual blessings are through him, Ephesians says. So let's start enjoying those blessings, trusting him for them. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. How great you are. How wonderful you are. I thank you for your son. I thank you that he is our shepherd. I thank you that the Bible, that is just a book filled with promises that bring peace and joy, contentment and satisfaction, they're all ours in him. Father, I pray that each one of us, Lord, we would start practicing, walking through this life, trusting in you as our shepherd. Lord, I pray as things come into our life, Lord, all of those things that bring fear and bring anxiety, Lord, I pray that we would use those moments to practice trusting you. Practice running the truths of who you are through our mind, through our heart. Lord, that every circumstance will be run, filtered through that. Lord, teach us, help us to grow in this grace, in this faith, Lord, to where everything is about you. Everything is run through you. And that we can say with the psalmist so contentedly, I am not in want. I'm not in need. I have everything necessary for satisfaction and contentment because I know my Lord, Jesus Christ. Do that in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.